Good afternoon. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Letter of James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. We continue our study we started last Lord's Day. Just these two verses then, let's read them together from the Word of God. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. One who speaks evil against the brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your brother? Let's pray for a moment. God, the Holy Spirit, we pray, breathe upon your word and bring the truth to light. Lord, help us to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves before your precious word and speak to us, Lord, for we listen in Christ's name. Amen. We're studying verses 11, 12, James 4. Last week, we considered the first of just 3 points and just 2 points today. And that first point was there is a clear command. And here we cautioned and commanded, against the sin of speaking evil. And we noted last Lord's Day, this signifies speaking anything that may hurt or injure a brother in the Lord. We must not speak evil things of others, we noted, even if they are true, unless we are called to it. Maybe some necessary reason for that. Someone sins against you, according to Matthew 18. Go to that brother and address him directly. But even there's no room for speaking evil or judging one another. We also noted in the work of the ministry and the proclamation of God's word, the scriptures through the minister speaks as a judge against certain sinful or unwise behaviors in the church. God, the Holy Spirit, literally breathes upon the word and brings the truth to us. Sometimes it's bad news. Sometimes it's things we do not want to hear. Sometimes it's admonition. Sometimes it's encouragement. And the greatest sin here, of course, is also forbidden. That are reporting things that are actually false. Slander should not even be present amongst brothers in the church. And yet they were in the first century, and sadly are in the church today too, the church of Jesus Christ. And we ended by saying, emphasize that our lips must be guided by the law of kindness as well as truth and justice. This is the law of love emphasized by the Lord Jesus Christ. His new commandment is the remedy for speaking evil, that we love one another as he has loved us. This should be the hallmark, the outstanding, consistent quality of the church in spite of difficulties, in spite of some speaking evil against the brother. But the outstanding thing should be the love that we have for one another. And Jesus says it is this love that will prove to men that you are my disciples. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, if we without love, we're just a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And as James states it, if we cannot bridle our tongues, our religion is worthless. And so Solomon in Ecclesiastes 31 distinguishes a virtuous woman in this way. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Do not speak evil against one another. Today we consider the second and the third points in our outline. Simply this, number two, there's a careful caution, and number three, there is one cosmic judge. And we'll conclude, because it's a short study, with some lessons and applications of our 2-week study of this Word of God. Our sermon title today, if you want one, is Doers or Judges? Doers or Judges? So following the clear command in that first phrase in chapter 11, James continues to give us, and by giving us two cautions, two reasons for this clear command. He highlights the audacity and the folly before God and his holy law of presuming to make ourselves judges of his law. And as our text says, even to judge the law of God. So we consider in the first place, number one, there is a careful caution. Verse 11. There is a careful caution. Second part of verse 11, or just after the phrase, the one who speaks against the brother or judges his brother, same sentence, speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, you may remember in chapter 2, in addressing the sin of partiality there, the sin of partiality said what? That we judge someone based on how they look. We judge someone on their outward circumstances, whether it's wealth or worldly importance. The Holy Spirit says the same thing here as he did there in James chapter 2, 24. If you judge and practice partiality, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? In other words, ironically, the man who plays judge is himself the one breaking God's law for failing to love his neighbor. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And so James says, to do that, to do so, to speak evil, to speak against, is to judge. And we are slandering God's holy law. He says, for this reason, you should not judge one another. For this reason, you should not speak against a brother. The Christian, by doing that, is raising himself to a position that the Lord never gives him. And so, in fact, disregards or disrespects the law of God. But the proper response to the law, says James, is not to take from it the role of judicial accuser, because this is to judge the law, but rather to submit oneself in humble obedience, which James has already taught us, and to submit ourselves and to draw near to God. And this truth should make us blush and should make us humble us in repentance for the many occasions that we speak against a brother. Because what do? When we speak against a brother, we judge them by our own standards. And it's so then, presuming to be judge and to be judging the law and to be a lawgiver. In effect, he's asking, are you a doer of the law or have you made yourself a judge of the law? Now, the law of Christ is very clear. Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you will not be judged. And so the sum and substance of both speaking evil and judging against another is that men should love one another. There's the remedy for this. Because if we speak evil against a brother and judge a brother, which he says is one and the same thing, the scriptures say we speak evil against the law and we judge the law. Brothers and sisters, what is it to speak evil? What is it to speak against another? It is to diminish, to have a tongue that diminishes the worth or value of the brother of the law in the Lord, and which condemns the law of God and the commandment of Christ. The law of God, perfectly kept by Christ, lifts us up as believers to a status of brothers with Christ. It lifts us up so that we can call ourselves children of God, We are adopted by him, and so what do we do when we speak evil against one another? We diminish the value that Christ has put on the soul of our brother and our sister. By his blood and by his forgiveness has placed upon us so that we are justified by faith. That is what we do when we defame a brother. We devalue them, someone who is precious in God's sight. And the Christians clearly, otherwise James would not have raised this, was writing to all who were there in the churches of the dispersion, who were all too ready to speak very hard things against one another. That is clear from the language here. And James doesn't pull punches because of their differences about indifferent things. And if we think about it, when we speak against another, or gossip, or speak evil, as James calls it, against another, it is normally about differences of indifferent things. Brothers and sisters, we cannot be righteous judges, because this is exactly what we do. We will consider things sin that the law does not condemn, and we bind people to our own consciences rather than to the law of God. You know what so-and-so did? Now, I would never do that. And so we speak evil against another, and we bind them to our own consciences, and we become lawmakers, and we judge in that way the law of God. And there are many examples in the New Testament of cases like this. You may remember in some of the scriptures there, like the observance of certain days, like the eating of certain meats, the drinking of wine, the laws of the Sabbath, not imposed by the scriptures. The Jews, for example, said, you're not to on the Sabbath day look in the mirror, because there you may see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out. And so you're forbidden to look in a mirror on the Lord's day, because that would be work. And so we make all our own rules, and we judge people, and we criticize people based on what we believe in right is right, and we become judges of God's law, and we make ourselves lawmakers instead of submitting ourselves to the law. Let me give you a case in point in Romans on passing judgment on one another about what we eat and what some eat and what some don't eat. And Paul writes in chapter 14, verse 3, he says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? And so when we speak evil, we pass judgment on God's servant. We pass judgment on the one who Christ has atoned for, and he has lifted him up and forgiven his sins. But they can't do that, and I need to tell them that. It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And we quarrel with a brother, condemn him in our minds or in our speech, of anything not determined in the Word of God, we judge the Word of God. That is what James is saying, as if it were not a perfect rule. Brothers and sisters, that is what speaking evil leads to. Beware of judging God's law, because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And if men break the law of God, God will judge them and leave God to judge them. If they don't break it, don't judge them by any other standard, especially not your own. This is a sinful evil. James raises this and he emphasizes this because it is to forget our place, that we ought to be doers of the law. And it is to set ourselves above it, as if we were judges of it. This is the careful caution of the sin of speaking evil against a brother. It is to judge the law and not be a doer of the law. It is to assume an office in a place that does not belong to you, and you will be sure to be judged for this presumption of judging. Judge not, said the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will not be judged. I quote, those who are most ready to set up for judges of the law generally fail most often in their obedience of it. The alternative is submit yourself to the law of God, because the law of the Lord is perfect. So this is a careful caution of speaking evil against a brother. We observe in the second place another reason why we should not speak evil or speak against a brother. That is that there is one cosmic judge. There is one universal judge. Verse 12, the scriptures are very clear. There is one lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your brother? It's simple and it's easy to understand. By speaking evil against the brother, we also neglect to realize that God alone is lawgiver and judge. By speaking to God's unique prerogative to save or destroy, James highlights that incomparable sovereignty and authority of the divine lawmaker and judge, says Matthew Henry, and that was so well put. Brothers and sisters, eternal life and eternal destruction are in God's hands. There is only one lawmaker and judge. And maybe we want to start and judge our brothers and sisters. We should remind us of the fact that there is one righteous, perfect lawmaker and judge. And eternal life and eternal destruction are in God's hands. And while God has given, for example, the civil magistrate and to earthly rulers the right to make laws, God, as the final lawgiver, has reserved the power of passing the final sentence on men wholly to himself, because he is the supreme lawgiver who can only give law to the conscience and who alone is to be absolutely obeyed. And this is important. God's right to enact laws is incontestable because he has such power to enforce it. He can save and he can destroy as no other can. He can save the soul and make it happy forever, which is what he does for his children, and he can destroy the soul and condemn it to eternal damnation and cast it into hell forever. God should be feared as the only lawmaker and judge, and all judgment should be committed to him. That's a good reason not to judge our brother and our sister. That's a good reason not to think evil against our brother and sister. Brothers and sisters, because of this, let's not prescribe to our brothers. Let's not censure and judge and condemn them in our minds, with our mouths. It is sufficient that we have the law of God, which is a rule to all of us. Therefore, we should not set up rules. Let us not presume to set up our own notions and opinions about what is wrong and right in our opinion. This is how we all cover those sins, isn't it? In my opinion, you should not be doing that. James closes this section, this simple, very clear section, with a question that needs no answer. In the light of this careful caution, that when we speak against, we elevate ourselves as judges and lawmakers, thereby judging the law of God. And because there is only one cosmic judge, one supreme lawmaker and judge, James puts it out there. He says, in the light of that, who are you to judge your brother? Who are you to judge your neighbor? And what's the answer to that? I'm a fool. I'm a fool to judge my neighbor. It is sinful and wrong to claim for myself the knowledge and the authority that only God has. Rather, says James, be a doer of the law. Be an example to your brothers and sisters of one who is a doer of the law. And if you want to keep the whole law, you know what you need to do. Love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And none of these commands, what we should not do, line up with that wonderful law of Christ. By speaking evil against the brother, I've nitpicked others' obedience. I've jumped to conclusions about their actions and motives. And when we think or speak evil, it's often because we presume to know their hearts. And most often, don't we think the worst of people rather than the best of the soul, this brother who's been forgiven by the Lord. I have not loved, but rather slandered and judged. Brothers and sisters, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Are we not all guilty in some way, by commission, of sinning in this matter? But you may say, well, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be disagreement. It's going to be opinion and personality. Of course, there'll be conflict on account of our remaining sin. More reason not to become judge. More reason not to slander our brother. More reason not to presume that you know the intentions and the motives of the heart of an action or what somebody has said. Our remaining sin, and Christians will eventually sin against one another. Thought and word and deed. So it is not where the Christian communities and our church family here will experience conflict, but how they will respond. And Jesus says, do not judge one another. Do not judge, but love one another. Speak the truth in love. Mind the log in your own eye before you become obsessed with that little speck in your brother's eye. And Christ has given us the remedy for this ever-present, this remaining sin in our members. And it is this, his love shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And it is this love of Christ by the Holy Spirit that covers a multitude of sins. It is this love that forgives our brother and not nitpicks our brother. It is this love that gives us forbearance with one another. It is this love that constrains us from speaking evil against one another. Because I love my brother, I will not speak against him. And it is this love that makes us consider others better than ourselves and causes us to look first at our own hearts and our own motives before we speak or think or act poorly towards or against a brother in the Lord. What is James teaching us? He says, don't point fingers at others, but rather ask God to search our own hearts. And the question perhaps should be, in what way is the sin in my heart contributing towards this conflict? Where is my pride, my anger, my defensiveness on display? And as the Spirit reveals the sin in our own hearts and our own motives and the pride, we should humble ourselves, confess our sin to God, repenting of it, a turning away from sin. And we resist walking the way of the world, which criticizes and nitpicks and speaks evil and slanders. Repentance, walk away from these things. And we consider the root cause that James has suggested in revealed by the Spirit in chapter 4, chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy in your heart and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast or be false to the truth. This is worldly wisdom. It's demonic. It's unspiritual. Relational conflict often manifests itself in judgmental attitudes and hurtful words, does it not? God is the judge, and it is his place to judge others' actions, perspectives, and motives. And yet we are so quick to judge others by our own standards and by our own false assumptions. Rather, we should entrust our case fully to God. Sometimes we are called to speak directly to those who have wronged us, but speaking hurtfully, we are acting as judge and executioner. Solomon, carried by the Spirit, as all writers of Scripture are, sums this up so well in Ecclesiastes 12. He says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments." He is the cosmic judge, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment. You need not do that for everybody else. And with every secret thing, whether good or evil. There's two reasons, two motivations for us not to judge our brother, not to speak evil against our brothers. In the time that's left, I want us to consider six lessons and applications from these two verses before us over the last 2 weeks. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And a reminder and some applications and lessons. Number one, since Christians are brothers, they should not defile or defame one another. Since Christians are brothers, basically, they should not speak evil against one another. Brothers and sisters, we are family. This needs to be part of the character of every true Christian in this family. The command requires that we always endeavor to preserve the good name of others. And Matthew Henry says, "Where we cannot speak well, we had better say nothing then speak evil. We must not take pleasure in making the faults of others known." Does that ring a bell? We should not take pleasure in making the faults of others known, divulging things that are secret, merely to expose them, nor in making more of their unknown faults than really they deserve, and least of all, of making false stories and spreading things concerning them of which they are altogether innocent. And as I've said before, this should not be part of the Christian church at all. Since they are brothers in the Lord, we should not speak evil against one another. Number two, speaking against one another is a violation of the law of God and the new commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Speaking evil against one another is a violation of the law of God and the new commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next to loving the Lord with all your heart and your soul and mind and strength, we are to love, which means we do no harm, but only seek the good of our neighbor and of our brother in the Lord. This is taken to a new level in the words of Christ. Brothers in the Lord are to love one another with that same quality of love with which Christ has loved us. Love one another as I have loved you. The Pastor Sam spoke a little about this morning in A Faithful Friend, and the scriptures, Proverbs, tell us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and that takes courage sometimes, and it's important for a strong friendship to speak the truth in love, but this is for private admonition and correction, and never justifies the speaking against one another. And I said that because it's true. It never justifies speaking against a brother. Thirdly, the third lesson application, be careful of the itching ear and the sins of the mind against your brother. We spoke a little bit about this last week. Be careful of the itching ear and the sins of the mind against your brother. This is to participate in the slander, as we noted last week. This is to be like Leviticus 19 verse 16, going around as a slanderer among your people because of your itching ears, and you may not say it, but it's there and you think it and you participate. Children of God, remember Psalm 1. The child of God, the blessed man, does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of scoffers. To be happy to hear the speaking against the brother, and to be happy to think about thinking against our brother, is to be standing, as we said last week, where Saul stood while Stephen was being stoned. And he kept the cloaks, and he watched, and he was nodding approval. It is giving assent, it's participating, it's not guarding the reputation of a brother who is loved by God. Be careful of the itching ear and the sins of the mind against your brother. Fourthly, never presume to add to God's law and to judge yourself and your brother by your own standards. Don't make up your own laws and judge others by what you believe to be true. This is to be a judge of the law and not a doer of the law. And the scriptures warn us to watch our own lives and doctrine closely. Guard your own hearts by the standards of God's holy law and the commands of Christ. To make your conscience law is to judge the law and not to submit to God's law. Do not burden yourself or your neighbor with self-made imposed laws. And some people have come and spoken to me, and this is really troubling them. But it is not in God's law. We do not judge ourselves by what we believe is right, but about God's holy law and God's standards only. Fifthly, be a doer of the law and not a judge. Be a doer of the law and not a judge. Brothers and sisters, acknowledge and bow the knee to the only supreme lawgiver and judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Be a doer of the law of the Lord, which is perfect. Sixthly and finally, and here's one that strikes home very closely, doesn't it? The little fox of criticism is the path to speaking evil and judging. That little fox called criticism is the path to speaking evil and judging. And this is something, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, parents to children, teenagers to parents. And that is something we all do so easily, sometimes without recognizing it. There is no art in criticism. There is no art in criticism. In fact, it breaks down rather than builds up. Criticizing is judging, for we consider our way of thinking and our way of doing things better than the one we are criticizing, than our brother and our sister. Be careful of the little fox of criticizing. Husbands, we're probably the most guilty of this, aren't we? Criticizing our own wives. And even when we believe it to be true, it is selfish and it is sinful and it is rarely helpful. It's selfish, it's sinful, and it's rarely helpful, and it is the path towards. It makes that road so much easier to speak against our brother and our sister. Well, six lessons and applications. Let me close with the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, 22, as we look to our own hearts and to our own minds and to our own lips as we search and judge our motives rather than our brother's motives. In repentance, confession to God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Let me read that again. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, to the law, to God's word, for a sincere brotherly love, a simple command, love one another earnestly from the heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the great sovereign. You are the only lawgiver and judge. We will all stand before you one day. And now we thank you that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who for us, children of God, has kept the law perfectly. Oh, Father, help us to watch and to guard our own hearts, to guard our lips against speaking evil against a brother or a sister, and to know that God will judge us, for he is the righteous judge. How we thank you that our sins are forgiven. We pray that you would teach us by your Spirit and through your word to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Amen.